This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Tuesday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is Tuesday, but for us, it's almost kind of a Monday because we're just back from Easter weekend.
Yes. Thank you, Brian, by the way, for getting us that Monday off.
Well, you're welcome. It was deserved and needed,
I really needed it, and yeah. I think we all needed it because we were kind of being crazy for about 2 weeks.
That happens. I think what happens is, I know there's definitely, listen, there's people that listen to this podcast and watch the show that are like, they have too much time off, but we're
in
production much more than the average talk show.
Yes,
we're into the summer, and we take actually less time off than most talk shows.
Yes.
And it's a grind.
It is. Yeah. And I don't mean to complain because I'm so grateful
We're very lucky to have you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for this platform and for this family, really, that we've all become. But, you know, like families, sometimes you get tired of them.
Yes, of course.
And I slept till 10 o'clock on Monday.
It's life-changing, isn't it?
It's unusual for me to sleep past 5:30, 6 o'clock. So I couldn't believe it when I woke up without an alarm and it was actually 10 o'clock.
I always joke that we always kind of crawl to the finish line for any break that we have.
I was wound pretty tight last week, so yeah. I'm feeling better.
Tell me about your Easter weekend.
It was great. You know, I usually have big Easter egg hunts, and Gabriel actually didn't come home because he's in the middle of an independent study and doing some other things at school. So he went to church in Cambridge and actually, FaceTimed us, which was great. But we just went to church, to our little St. Charles Borromeo Catholic Church in Harlem, which has the most incredible gospel choir, and to the point where Paloma was standing up and clapping for the choir.
That's great.
You know, it was.
Did
it was
sing?
Great. She can sing.
Oh, that's nice.
So it was that part was just so wonderful. And then we went to Alvin and Friends, which is a restaurant in New Rochelle that I am part owner. So we usually get very good service there.
I would think so.
And it was small. My mom, Paloma, Manny, our friend Raymond. And I think that was it. And we ate together with Alvin and Gwen, our co-owners. And then there was a 90th birthday party for one of Manny's fraternity brothers at Alvin and Friends. We have a back room. And then we went straight from our brunch to celebrate him at 90. And it was a surprise party. And he was dancing and spinning. And it was just such a celebration of life. And it was like one of the best Easter Sundays I've had.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, because it's like, it's one of the holiest days, and he is risen, and we were just so happy. It was great.
Oh, that's
not
terrific.
To sound too Catholic.
No, but that's great. But that's what it should be.
For us, it was really good. And then, the fact that Gabriel is away at college going to church on Easter Sunday.
Makes you proud.
For me, is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Now, you haven't spoken much about your restaurant on the show or on the podcast. How did you get involved in that?
You know, it's we've been open for almost 15 years, actually, and it does really well. It's Best of Westchester almost every year, and it's because I love to cook, some people know. And Alvin, he's an artist, but he also loves to cook, and we were in my kitchen, and he brought some food over, and I was cooking, and he said, wouldn't it be great just to have a place where we could eat as friends? I said, yeah, like Alvin and Friends.
And then boom.
And 15 years later, we have been in New Rochelle. We've made it bigger. We have, gospel brunches. We have jazz brunches. It's basically French and Caribbean and soul food cuisine. And it's sort of a mix up of that. And the food is just delicious. And the people are wonderful. And sometimes on a Thursday, I may be bartending. and it's just, it's a family place.
That's
a family
great.
Place. And it's really wonderful. And we've been doing it together for a long time.
That's such a cool thing to be a part of. Yeah. All right. We have a listener question for today. For the first time ever, the question is from our guest on today's show, who not only is a View super fan, but also a fan of the Behind the Table podcast.
Really?
Wilson Cruz.
Let's take a listen. Oh my gosh.
Hey, it's Wilson Cruz. And on today's show, Sunny, you got really emotional when you were talking about the fact that people got upset about Trans Day of Visibility coinciding with Easter. And you were visibly upset. And it touched me because it seemed so personal to you. And I guess my question to you is, why? How did you come to feel so strongly about trans rights? Mm-hmm. And also just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, he is so sweet and
really great.
Wonderful and great and talented. So I love that question from him. I've told this story, I think, before, but my grandmother's best friend, Sylvia, was a trans woman. And so she was my mother's godmother and then sort of my godmother. And I just grew up knowing that someone who's trans or non-binary is just like everybody else. I don't know.
Right.
I never thought it would ever be a thing. It was so natural in our family. And then, of course, I have a friend. Their name is Dee. They do my hair. They also do Laverne Cox's hair. And they do incredible color and styling and cuts. And they have taught me so much about how persecuted the community is.
Right.
And if anyone were to ever meet Dee, they would be ashamed of themselves.
Well, that's the thing. It's just I find that so much of it is exposure to people in the world.
Yes.
And that's it with every kind of with racism, with every kind of, of phobia or fear, just getting to know people, getting outside of your insular environment that you grew up in, whether it's going to college, whether it's traveling the country, whether it's going to work in places that are more inclusive and have more diverse people there. And it just broadens your perspective and your mind and opens you up to things that
it does.
You suddenly realize how silly it would be to have any kind of have these misconceptions you have or any fears you have. And oh,
you know, one of the things that I often think about in terms of my faith, because Jesus loves everyone and Jesus is love. I just often think these people that hate the trans community, which is by the way, 1.6% of our population. Mm-hmm. So it's such a small community to be so persecuted. It really angers me because of my justice leanings.
No, of course.
If something is unjust, it just upsets me. Paloma also has a non-binary, very close friend, as does my son Gabriel. And this generation, what they really have taught me is that in a world like this, post a Donald Trump presidency and in this political climate, who would choose to be trans or non-binary?
Right.
Who would choose
to make their life more difficult?
Life more difficult.
Yeah.
And I hope for people listening that is somehow profound, because while they have explained to me they would never choose otherwise, it is not a choice.
Right.
And, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. And I was really upset about that topic. I felt very strongly about it. And I do.
Yeah. No, it was a good conversation. And I'm glad we had it. And we need to have it more often, I think.
Yeah.
For Wilson Cruz, I've been a fan of his since my so-called life. I mean, since I was a teenager.
He's great in that.
Yeah, and I, as you know, I'm a Trek guy. So
I know you are.
I love having people from Discovery here, and that was really fun. And to have someone who is on a show that I'm a fan of and grew up as a fan of to be a fan of the show we're doing
Can
is
you
such
imagine?
A cool thing.
I know, it is cool.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that people love our show so much. Like, I'm always really humbled by that.
Yeah, especially the people that, like, will say, like, I watch every day.
I know.
Reference things that they
said. That's what he said. He's like, I watch every day. I'm like, oh my gosh.
We'll be back in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, listen, after we did the podcast last Thursday, and by the way, this is a double Sunny hit because you were on the last podcast and this podcast.
Okay.
How about that? You were headed out to go on a college tour with Paloma, your daughter. How was that?
You know, it was wonderful. I think I've spoken about this before, but Paloma was born with something called Brown's disease, which affects like 3% of people. And it can be debilitating because your eyes do not track at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it's very difficult to read and even to process because the words kind of jump around.
So it can present as a learning disability of sorts.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And mm-hmm. It's almost like dyslexia, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And because so few people have it, it's not really understood well. We didn't catch it. We caught it early because her eyes looked strange. We had surgery. It only corrected at 60%. So she has to listen to a lot of her textbooks. And school is, she's a brilliant person. And imagine a brilliant mind being caught up with that disability. So it's been very difficult for her. And she got into like almost every school she applied to.
That's amazing.
Including an HBCU that she really is very interested in, including an Ivy League school, which she is very interested in. And she got in, and she's an artist, as you know, Brian, and she got into the top three art programs in the country.
All right. So
one of them on a full scholarship.
All right.
So needless to say, mm-hmm. I am so proud of that little girl. I think she's a little nervous because, she learns differently and it's harder for her. But the fact that despite all of that, she killed it. And by the way, she wouldn't even let me review her essays.
And you didn't find a way to sneak a look at them anyway?
She refused help, which just shows what a go-getter she is. And she also, in terms of her artwork, it's really hard to apply to these art programs because you have to show about a body of work of about 20 pieces. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you have to create new pieces just for the school. Like there'll be like 6 prompts, like I'm feeling blue. And then you have to like paint to it. It's really difficult. And I think it was more difficult than Gabriel's application process. And I'm just like, Manny and I are both floored that this kid that everyone told us would have a really, really hard time is kicking butt.
And clearly really self-motivated, and
totally self-motivated,
an achiever of her own, and that's
overachiever,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
As a fellow parent of 2 children, I have to say, bravo! You had 2 kids that got accepted to Ivy League school. That's unbelievable.
That's
a parenting win.
It's kind of like when they were saying, "Well, you know, only 3% of the students, you know, are accepted here, and only 5% are accepted here." I was like, "Oh my God, she got accepted to both!"
Congratulations, Paloma!
Cool.
Congratulations
to you.
I think that's a win.
We're psyched.
Yeah,
we're psyched for her. I mean, I don't know where she'll go, but
she's got opportunities.
It's a champagne problem.
Yeah,
right.
No, it's a great one.
Yeah,
it's a great one. All right, now I have some listener questions for you.
Oh, right. I love those.
I know, I like them too. Here we go. Question number 1: Who is the smartest person you know, and why?
Oh gosh.
Be embarrassing if you said me. So just keep going.
This one will get me into trouble. Manny is probably one of the smartest people I know.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell him that because I live with him.
Sure.
But he did all the things, you know, Phi Beta Kappa, Rhodes Scholar, a Fulbright Scholar, mm-hmm. was nominated to be a Rhodes Scholar, couldn't accept it because he was a Spanish citizen, yada, 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 4.0 GPA in chemistry. But those people are usually like very strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like weird smart.
Mm-hmm.
He is not weird smart. Like he has an emotional IQ that is like an EQ that's really quite high. He's ridiculously funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fix anything. He can like fix a car. He can like fix the toaster oven. He can take the TV apart and then put it together again and fix it. Like, he's just like very, very bright.
That's so sweet. And it's your husband. How about that?
Yeah,
that's
I don't
great.
Tell him that. No, and you can't. Please, no, don't anyone listen to this and tell him, because I don't tell him that because
I don't believe that my wife believes that I'm the smartest person she knows. But if she did, she would never tell me.
Yeah. I don't want to tell him.
She would never give you that.
I don't want to tell him, but he is. And then the other person actually is my friend Rich Plansky, who graduated from Harvard Law and then decided to take like a $25,000 a year job at the DA's office in Manhattan and kind of became my counterpart in sex crimes. I was on the federal level and he was on the state level. And he is also this really brilliant, brilliant guy who I go to ask legal questions of. And he comes to me and we bat things off of each other. And he's also one of the funniest people that I've ever met. So I'm starting to think like the funny and the smart goes together.
I think so. There are definitely very super smart people that have like a smartness that do not have the humor component. But
these two guys don't have that. They're funny. So I'm thinking it goes kind of like together.
I mean, when I think of the people that I think are really smart, I think of comedians. I think of like super.
Dave Chappelle, you may love him or hate him, but like I have spent time with him in Puerto Rico just talking.
At a bar.
And he's really smart.
No question. All right. Question number two. If you could trade places with another celebrity for a day, who would it be?
President Barack Obama.
There you go.
Because I want to know about the aliens.
Yes. And you would instantly know if you traded places.
Yes. I would know about the aliens. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a no-brainer. That's easy.
All right.
I would know where that area is. I would go and then I would visit the specimens that they have, also the UFOs that they clearly have. I would be able to see all the tapes. I probably would be able to communicate with them because they probably have some of them in captivity.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think
that's what I would do.
They always say that the first day that you get the presidency, they sit you down, they tell you everything.
Yeah.
And that's what starts to age you so fast.
Exactly. Yeah. I think so. And I want to know about the aliens and the possible invasion.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Another thing. If you could change one thing about the world you live in, what would it be?
Oh, I would change the lack of humanity and the lack of peace, not only in this country, but around the world.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. And the aliens.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. But just the lack of humanity. And I would there would be no crime. There would be no pain. There would, we would be overflowing in kindness for one another.
There we go. I don't know what we talk about on the show, but otherwise that'd be great.
It would ruin our show.
Yeah,
but
it would ruin the show. But other than that, I would be very good.
World peace, man. Like,
all right.
That's important.
All right, let's get you a monkey's paw. All right. Thank you for joining me, Sunny. I will be back on the show with Joy Behar. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice for me or a co-host, please check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline, much like Wilson Cruz did. Thank you for listening.
Poverty.
Yeah, poverty.
I would erase poverty.
Yeah, you're basically just doing
racism too.
The words to imagine.
Yeah, poverty, imagine and racism.
Yeah. Okay.
That too. all the things.
Yeah, all the things. Yeah. All the things. I like it. If I have the ability to give somebody their wishes to grant, you're getting on there. There I go.
Thank you.
Yeah, good ones. All right. I just wish for more wishes. Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Can't do that.
No, I know. It's against the rules.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.